Diplomatic efforts to find a solution to the crisis in Gaza are continuing this lunchtime. Yesterday, Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu indicated that the blockade on Gaza might be eased if the area were what he termed demilitarized. The death toll for the past 3 weeks now stands at more than 1,000 Palestinians, the vast majority of them civilians. Israel says 43 of its soldiers have been killed along with three civilians. In a moment, we'll talk to Nadeem Shahadi, who is an associate fellow at Chatham House. But before we do, the Taoiseach Enda Kenny, who is in Galway, has been speaking about the continuing crisis.
Well, I note the leader of the Seanad has decided to recall the Seanad, obviously to discuss this matter, which is quite horrendous. Clearly, the situation insofar as the government are concerned here, the Minister for Foreign Affairs debated this matter in the Dáil on the 19th of June, and by way also of a number of parliamentary questions. He's had the Israeli ambassador in several times. The latest meeting between he and the ambassador was the 25th of July, just this week. He's also met with the ambassadors of Saudi Arabia, of Morocco and of Palestine, and has met the representatives of the Egyptian and United Arab Emirates states. But more importantly than that, because of the humanitarian issue that applies here, the government, with Minister Flanagan and Minister Sherlock, allocated 500,000 for humanitarian relief immediately as part of the flash response that was requested here. This is an issue that is one of many now in the Middle East that's causing a problem. I was in the Lebanon recently. 1 million people have moved from Syria into South Lebanon. Another 1 million have moved into Jordan. There is no strategy to deal with the humanitarian consequence of that. We've had the annexation of Crimea by Russia, the destabilisation of the Ukraine. You have problems now in Libya, where many countries have advised that their embassy staff will be moved out. And you have problems again in Afghanistan with the Taliban. So the death of any child, the death of any person because of these kind of activities is no greater in one area than another.
We're seeing some horrifying pictures on our television screens in recent days of the Israeli bombardment in Gaza. As Taoiseach, what's your view of the Israeli offensive?
Well, I was in Gaza a number of years ago with a number of my TD colleagues, and the situation then was horrendous. This is an enclave that has been the subject of so much controversy for so many years. The world looks at the situation in Gaza between Israel and Palestine, that the solution is a two-state solution for very many years, since the early 1950s. The situation now is that there are differences of opinion between the Secretary of State and the Prime Minister of Israel, Secretary of State from the United States. Clearly, there have been ceasefires brokered both by Egypt and others. These have been put in place for a few hours and have been broken. And the situation is very fragile. And clearly, from a humanitarian point of view, water and food and medicines and the needless loss of life speaks for itself. Every country is entitled to defend itself, no less Israel, no more than any other. But the United Nations have obviously pointed out on many occasions that a response in self-defence needs to be proportionate. And clearly, the situation where 1,000 people have lost their lives in Gaza is not satisfactory and has been the subject now of direct phone calls between the President of the United States and the Prime Minister of Israel.
Taoiseach Enda Kenny speaking to our Western correspondent Pat McGrath in Galway a short time ago. Let's talk now to Nadeem Shahadi, an associate fellow at Chatham House. Nadeem Shahadi, there were efforts over the weekend to put in place a ceasefire with limited success. Are you hopeful another might be agreed soon?
Not really. It's very difficult to imagine that both sides would agree to a ceasefire without predetermining the outcome. Because once the ceasefire holds, then both sides will be accountable to their own constituencies, who will ask them, what have you achieved, what have you done, and the price has been too high for them to just stop like that. So both sides need to make enough achievements to be able to justify all that destruction and violence and the great loss even for Israel in terms of the moral loss in terms of the international reaction to what it's doing, and for Hamas they have to be able to show at least some concessions from Israel in terms of lifting the blockade or the siege or release of prisoners, that sort of thing. But in a way, Hamas is in a much better position than Israel in this, because Hamas has already achieved a major sort of victory, if you like, because it is now the interlocutor. So it's displaced its rival, the PLO and the PNA, as being the front for finding a solution in a sense. It's weakened the PLO and gained strength internally.
And what do you make of remarks yesterday from the Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, who conducted interviews with US television networks? He indicated, talking to NBC and also to CBS, that the blockade on Gaza, which you refer to there, might be eased if the area is what he terms demilitarized. Is this a softening of his position, or is the prospect of Gaza being demilitarized so remote that his comments are effectively meaningless?
But I mean, the way I would find meaning in such a statement is that he is already negotiating with Hamas, and which means that he's willing to give concessions to Hamas, at least, or talk to Hamas after his negotiations with the PLO and the PA have failed. And I think what's happening now is that we are paying the price of the failure of these negotiations back in April. So the significance of Prime Minister Netanyahu's statements will be seen as sidelining the PLO again.
Benjamin Netanyahu earlier this month said, quote, "There cannot be a situation under any agreement in which we relinquish security control of the territory west of the River Jordan." This has been taken by some to indicate what has previously been believed. He's no longer a believer in the two-state solution, that effectively for him is a non-runner. And today's Financial Times' Edward Luce saying that all the US can do in that context is basically broker ceasefires, that no solution can be found in absence of Israeli support for the two-state solution.
Yes, I think that during the negotiations with the Israelis, there was there was talk of allowing Israel some security control over the Jordan Valley. So it doesn't necessarily mean the end of a two-state solution. It just means that there is concern for security matters. And it gains Prime Minister Netanyahu to bring this up now, when Israelis feel, in a way, insecure and they feel threatened. So that you know, as a politician, you bring up issues when they sell most. The question of security is of course very sensitive in Israel and very difficult to resolve. With the Palestinians.
It has also been said, Nadeem Shahadi, that the conflict in Gaza is attracting so much attention that the death toll in Syria is being ignored. The conflict there last week, the bloodiest since it began.
Yes, absolutely. And the reason why it's been the bloodiest is because President Assad is now in a way, in his comfort zone, and he has a free hand to step up the military operations without much international attention. But the more significant point here is that President Assad, in a way, claims to be the sort of vanguard of resistance against Israel, with a resistance front consisting of Iran, the Syrian regime, Hezbollah, and Hamas. Now, in the past 3 years, Hamas had broken away from that front, and that front had lost a lot of legitimacy by not containing the Palestinian resistance in its fold. And this incident now, this latest flare-up, has brought Hamas back into the fold and given the resistance front a boost, if you like. So the alliance between Hezbollah, Hamas, Syria, and Iran is now much stronger regionally and internally.
Okay, Nadeem Shahadi, Associate Fellow at Chatham House, thanks indeed for speaking to us.